Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, joined by Jim Ozarski, Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We had a whole podcast recorded for you. It's still coming up after our conversation here, but everything changed Monday night because we got some news that Giannis Antetokounmpo was in fact signing a 3-year extension in addition to his current deal to stay in Milwaukee up until the year 2028. Definitely caught a lot of people by surprise. So we obviously have to talk about this. Jim, when we talked to Giannis at Bucks Media Day, it sure sounded like he had no intention of signing this deal, that it made more financial sense and still kind of does to have waited until next summer. So a little very surprising, very confusing. We didn't even bring it up because I'd forgotten when the date was. It didn't matter to me. I didn't think he was signing the extension. So what in the world happened? Did this catch you by surprise as much as it caught me by surprise on Monday?
Yeah, I think it caught everybody by surprise because he was so adamant on October 2nd, JR, that he wasn't signing it. Even when asked, hey, does the Dame move change your mind? Does it help? And he said, yeah, but. And I believe he tossed an expletive in there with how much money is available to him next summer. So only he can answer what changed his mind in the last 3 weeks, JR. But we can surmise, look, the Bucks got him involved in a coaching search. They broke up their championship core to trade for a top 75 player that he is pined to play with. It makes sense that if the Bucks would go to him and say, hey, maybe meet us in the middle. Can you sign this extension now, add a couple years to the deal? And look, every salary cap projection you see is just that. Like, there's going to be an assumption that the salary cap is going to rise 10% every year for the next 10 years. I don't know. But somewhere in the calculus, JR, the Bucks must have pitched to Giannis and his people or whatever conversation they had, they must have felt good about him sort of recouping the $80 million or so that he's giving up next summer down the line, because now he can sign another 2-year extension and then sign a 4-year extension after that before he gets to the old 38 rule. So three contracts are better than two. There's probably some financial incentive in there as well to do this. It's just a little harder to pin down because it's a math that we just can't know when the new media rights deals are signed.
Yeah, three contracts are better than two. The over 38 deal is not something I knew a lot about. And reading, Adrian Wojnarowski's reporting from ESPN, it sure sounds like it is a paper, not a paperwork thing, but like, there was actually some math here where he could make more money signing now, because once the over 38 rule stipulates that once you are at the point where you could be 38 or older, you cannot sign a deal for more than 3 years. Essentially, your overall earnings potential is limited a little bit, and that's intended to not have teams take advantage of players who are about to retire, and then they're signed to these crazy deals to sort of circumvent some salary cap stuff, and then you don't actually have to pay that out because the player retires or whatever. I had not been thinking about Giannis's retirement age. That is not something that entered my thought process. I know this stuff gets really tricky really fast. Do you have any insight contract-wise, if that sounds right to you, that maybe they looked at the math a little bit and said, if you wanted to keep signing contracts, you can definitely make more money by signing now versus next year when you start to get into that over 38 territory for your next deal. It would limit what you could potentially earn.
Yeah, look, he can do that, JR, because it's the thing. This is a 3-year contract on paper. It's really 2 years.
Yes.
The Bucks always tack on these player options, and players never pick up the options. Especially when they're still in their prime. So essentially, this is a 2-year extension, and he can sign another one that will get him to close to 35 years old. And that's really the cutoff line, JR, is as long as you're 35 by October 1st of that year, you can sign a 4-year, 5-year deal. And the reason he can and the Bucks can sort of get beyond the over 38 is because they will have his bird rights, which is another exception for teams to keep their own players. So, yeah, there's definitely some interesting timing, interesting math. And I think the way that's positioned, JR, is is intentional because it can take Giannis to 20 years with the Bucks if he does that. But also, like, signing with your own team, extending, gets you the most money. Like, if he were to walk in free agency, he would be leaving tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars on the table. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So this just gives him, you know, I guess more flexibility to see where the Bucks are going in 27 and 28. But it also keeps that financial windfall available to him, even though he's signing now two-year deals instead of one four-year deal next summer.
And I mean, this is obviously huge for Bucks fans who wanted to, you know, who want to see Giannis in a Bucks uniform as long as humanly possible. It's now two more years with their core four sort of still here because Brook Lopez is under contract now. Basically, the Bucks don't have to worry about tearing this down for the next two seasons. Does it change anything for them on the floor? Is there anything that is altered outside of like the outside noise in the short term? Obviously, we knew Giannis was going to be here this year, maybe probably next year. So does it change anything tangibly beyond what people are saying about the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo, which I know irritated a lot of Bucks Twitter, but maybe wasn't the most consequential thing?
I mean, we can make the easy joke, JR, and be like, well, you know, teams are monitoring a situation and lining up from in 2029.
Yes, yes, I love it.
No, I don't think it materially changes anything on the court. I mean, he was always going to be a match player regardless of his performance, let's be real. Mm-hmm. He could be injured for the season starting opening night. He could have a down year for whatever reason. Like, that never was going to change what he was going to earn or the next contract he was going to get. So I would say all this does, JR, is quiet that stuff. So if they start slow, as we talk about later in the podcast, and there are some questions about Adrian Griffin in his first year as a head coach, you're not sort of getting the, well, Giannis has 1 year left. He's got a year and a half left. What can happen? So it sort of eliminates the noise that would be generated from the outside of the Bucks organization. In terms of Giannis personally, you know, his motivations are his own, and I don't think this had anything to do with that, to be honest.
Let's talk about some of the outside noise, because that's a very fun topic. You are somebody who sees Giannis every day. You are obviously in the media and can observe sort of locally and on a national scale how people talk about Giannis. People get very sensitive about the implication, ESPN or anyone else who covers the NBA, that Giannis might want out. Giannis is going to be looking elsewhere. That these are the teams that are interested: the Miami Heat, the Clippers, you know, whatever. Like, I could throw out all the teams. I know that bothers people. I personally have never thought it was that over the top. It's just more like, here's an elite generational player who at some point might become available. I'm sure there was some of this around Kevin Durant when Kevin Durant he's changed teams a few times, obviously. So I don't think it's beyond what's typical. I just think Milwaukee people aren't used to having that generational talent who could theoretically go elsewhere. I'm sure this was true for LeBron James, of course, with the decision and everything going back, you know, more than a decade. So do you think it is over the top? Do you think that you have observed national outlets being a little too eager to see Giannis relocate out of Milwaukee? Or do you think, like I do, like, it's probably not that big a deal? It's probably pretty par for the course. We just aren't used to that as Milwaukee sports observers.
I think it's a little over.
You do? Okay.
JR, just because we're supposed to speak with an informed opinion, even if it is an opinion. And I just felt like a lot of this stuff, even going back to the last Supermax, was sort of making assumptions based on I don't know what. To be honest, JR, like, there's some, I have a column up over at jsonline.com. Like, he has never said he wants to leave or he wants to play anywhere else. Now someone can listen to this and say, well, Jim, you're splitting hairs. He has said if the Bucks don't commit to winning, he would go elsewhere. But the facts are the Bucks have committed to winning. So I don't know what or where this sort of came from, that he's got this desire to leave or is about to leave. Like, nothing the team has done or nothing he has ever said or done would indicate otherwise. So I don't know. I don't know if it's strictly the entertainment of NBA entertainment where they just need something to talk about it and extension is coming and or not. So let's just talk about it. Like, I feel like I didn't hear about Anthony Davis leaving. And I don't know if that's because he was already in L.A. I don't hear a whole lot of, is Jason Tatum not going to sign? But is that because he's in Boston? But the Bucks have won more regular season games than those teams and have had maybe similar or better postseason success in those 5 years. So all I can think of is it's just this – he's this giant star in a city where giant stars aren't supposed to stay. But again, JR, I don't really know where else he's supposed to go. Like, the Knicks haven't had this kind of guy since Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, Carmelo was a fine player, but he's not this. The Clippers got Kawhi and Paul George, but we could also argue they're not him. So I guess I'm just not sure where or why all this stuff happens, because it's just me uninformed on a lot of levels.
All right. Well, we will obviously have a lot more to say about Giannis and this contract extension. Will we, as you'll hear on the remaining episode, the rest of the episode that we recorded early. Of course, we record early in news breaks. That's like the first rule of podcasting. The longer lag time between recording and posting, the world is going to open up with news, breaking news, and that's certainly happened. On Monday night, we will dovetail now into that portion of the podcast. But Jim, unless there's anything else, Jim, that you want to point out about this?
No, as far as I know, no other news is broken. So I think we are now barreling toward the season opener on Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to post this as soon as I can, so that we're on top of things. But thanks, Jim. We'll chat with you again in much clearer audio here in a second. But thanks for joining me, man. The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It has been a minute since we have chatted with you. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward Podcast, and sitting next to me, it's Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Say hi to your fans, Jim Ozarski.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello! He's in studio with me. I love that. We have a lot to discuss. This is the preview, season preview edition. The Milwaukee Bucks will get going on Thursday against the Philadelphia 76ers. It'll be a fun opening night event. The Milwaukee Bucks, a lot of buzz this year. Of course, Damian Lillard, new to the team. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference. We're going to talk about the things we've seen from the preseason, how the defense is going to look. It's going to be pretty different. Obviously, there's a new head coach in Adrian Griffin. We've got all that stuff. First and foremost, I wanted to alert you. The Point Forward Podcast is going to be pulling back a little bit. There is a we've been trying to keep a weekly schedule, and I don't think that's not going to be the case this year. We're going to be doing Point Forward 5 video recaps probably once a week. You can find those at jsonline.com. They're just 5-minute video segments with Jim Ozarski and myself breaking down some of the more recent developments, but going to be smaller, bite-sized versions of us this year. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. There's just not that many people who listen to the Point Forward Podcast. The ones who do are extremely devoted. We love you, the listeners. We love the feedback we've gotten. I know that people are really, really excited, and we're not disappearing completely, but I don't want you to expect us on a weekly basis going forward. We're going to be there for the big events. We're going to keep chatting Milwaukee Bucks on jsonline.com. Jim, of course, will be writing a ton at jsonline.com, so there will still be plenty of places to find us. X, Twitter, if that's your thing, if that still exists.
YouTube, especially the YouTube, Point Forward 5 Journal Sentinel YouTube page. Subscribe over there, too. You'll see us there.
Yep, and you'll see our pretty faces, not just our beautiful voices, but also our pretty faces. So wanted to alert you to that. Thank you for listening to this show. Again, we're not disappearing completely, but not as much a weekly, even with the as exciting as this season is. We're gonna pull back a little bit, but it is an exciting season, and I don't want to lose sight of that, Jim. So that's obviously where I want to start. Damian Lillard is here in Milwaukee. We've talked about that big acquisition, probably the big move of the NBA offseason, and kind of came in at least into the preseason fully expecting to see just this crazy unstoppable 1-2 punch where Giannis is unstoppable in the paint, Damian Lillard is unstoppable on the perimeter, and you can't shut down both. We have not seen that in the preseason, in our very limited glimpses of the preseason. So I know there's a little bit of hand-wringing. Suddenly the language is changing. Giannis being like, well, it's going to take some time to get into things. And I'm not sure that's what Bucks fans want to hear. It's also, I mean, we've talked about this. The regular season is largely immaterial because they will win enough games to make the postseason, so, and we could talk about that too. But what little bit you've seen so far from the Dame Giannis experience as they share a floor together, give me your overall interpretation of it. Do you also think it's going to take some time? Do you think they're going to be like, you know, 7-5 or 10-8 as we get into this season?
I mean, the easy thing to say is that, I mean, it is going to be a massive, massive problem for opposing teams. I mean, you can go back and pull the screenshots of Los Angeles and Oklahoma City, you know, doubling Dame Lillard over the top of a screen, and Giannis, there's no one around him. Mm. Is that going to happen for 82 games? Probably not. I mean, teams have different players, different skill sets. You know, Cleveland, for instance, has a lot of big men. They may decide that, you know, they're going to collapse on Giannis and leave everyone else wide open. So, you know, we'll see that develop. But, yeah, I mean, broadly speaking, if they're running a two-man game, there is a choice. And the choice is Giannis 4-on-3, you know, at the paint or no one there, or Damian Lillard 1-on-1 or no one there above the three-point line, being able to make a decision. So, broadly speaking, JR, that's going to be a problem. that everyone assumed it will be. Now, to what you alluded to, where it's, you know, Giannis saying after the Memphis game, hey, this is going to take some time. I mean, on one hand, it's very smart messaging on Giannis's part because, yeah, sure. It doesn't appear that Chris Middleton's going to play 30 minutes right away. So if that's the case, he's going to be working in. Adrian Griffin, as the new head coach, is going to have to figure out when and where to stagger Giannis and Damian. If Chris is only playing 16 to 20 to 25 minutes as he's ramping up, where does he fit in those staggered moments? Are you sort of saving Chris for end of game like Mike Budenholzer did last year? So, I mean, look, you go back to the Heatles, JR. I mean, they were famously 9-8, and the world was ending.
I do not remember that, actually. So they were not famously, to me, 9-8.
Well, yeah, in the NBA world, I mean, the Bosh, Wade, LeBron trio, 9-8, everyone's freaking out, and then they rip off 12 straight and go to the finals, as we all know. And they didn't win that finals.
No.
Not that one. So, look, I'm sure Bucks fans right now would take a finals trip. But getting there, I think it's fair. Like, anytime other than, I think, the Durant placement into Golden State, usually when this type of thing occurs, it takes a little while for them all to figure it out. You add in a new coach. You add in a new defensive system. You add in, again, Chris, whatever his ramp-up situation is going to look like. It makes sense that they're going to win games, of course, but that it might look a little clunky. Mm. You know, last year, JR, they ripped off 9 straight to start the season, but then we're 500 through January. Giannis has got to come down from on high during a practice and be like, hey, guys, let's relax, you know? And sure enough, they ended up, you know, ripping off, what, 15, 16 straight when Chris came back. So, it's going to look good. Is it going to look good for 48 minutes? Probably not.
So you said Chris Middleton's name a few times, and he is a fascinating element to all of this. He's a guy who did play in the last preseason game, but has been hurt, hasn't been playing a lot in those preseason games, and has been off again, off and on with practices. And I'm curious to know what you think becomes of him, because obviously he is the clear-cut third fiddle at this point. I mean, that's probably unfair terminology. We're talking about a two-time All-Star. Like, he's a very good player, but he's definitely the third option, and he's working his way back into the rotation. I mean, I don't think we expect him to play more than, I don't know, 12 to 18 minutes a game early in the season. Even that
optimistic. Yeah, great question. He won't say.
Right.
But 12 minutes of a final preseason game, he did play most of the scrimmage, which did matter.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I'm guessing they're going to have one more hard practice before JR, but you're right. Like, I don't see him going right to 30.
No.
So, yeah, I feel like somewhere a little bit of a – I'm sure he's going to start, unlike when he came back last year. I'm sure he's going to start.
Yeah.
But you're right. It doesn't feel like he's going to be at that 30-minute mark like Damian and Giannis are going to be.
I feel like skipping ahead, talking about Chris Middleton, I'm selling Damian Lillard short. I don't know what else there is to ask about him necessarily. I mean, I don't think even I can appreciate how good he can be. You know, I don't know if I feel like a guy who plays in Portland, I'm not sure how many people actually have seen him play a lot, you know, because right.
You're casual Bucks. No, that's totally fair. Mm. I mean, you're a casual Bucks fan. Look, Portland has been a playoff team in his time.
Yes.
They have not been the last few years. I think he's only been available for a couple of the Bucks Blazers games in this recent iteration of Bucks basketball. It's easy to – you're right, easy to sort of say top 75 player all time.
Yeah.
Walking Hall of Famer. But what does that actually mean? he's fantastic. I mean, there were only a half dozen guys averaged 30 points a game last year. Damian Lillard was one of them. Giannis was another one of them. Michael Redd owns the Bucks scoring record, 57 points, yeah. Right? Dame's done that 7 times in his career.
That I'm sorry, Michael Redd, but you are in danger.
So, like, Giannis has a couple of, like, a half dozen 50-point mm-hmm. games.
Yeah.
Like, Dame has a dozen. So he is a special, special offensive player.
Yeah.
Again, what is that going to look like? Because he's never played with another special, special offensive player. So you figure some of that, like the peak Giannis, peak Dame scoring is going to come back down a little bit because there's just it's just going to have to happen.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But, I mean, maybe there's a day to get into that, JR, but we're not underselling him. I think it's fair to just say he's amazing and Giannis is amazing. And so that's that. But for the Bucks to get where they want to be, I don't think it's wrong to focus on Chris.
And Adrian Griffin is going to be the architect behind this whole thing. Obviously, first-year head coach. He's new here. He replaces Mike Budenholzer. And we talked about this on the Point Forward 5 last week. Terry Stotts, very abruptly, stepping down as an assistant coach last week. He's a guy who has a lot of head coaching experience. Of course, he was head coach in Milwaukee for a time. He was head coach in Portland for a huge chunk of Damian Lillard's career. So those two already have a, presumably, good working relationship. And there was a report very quickly that he had stepped down. Nobody really saw that coming. Adrian Griffin kind of deflected questions like, well, you kind of have to ask Terry. That was his decision. Didn't go into a lot of depth. Seemed, I don't know how to describe it other than kind of at ease with the whole thing. Like, yeah, that happened, I guess. We're going to move on. I mean, that was the tenor. I'm putting words in his mouth, but that was the tenor of the conversation. And so then there's a sort of some reporting about a kind of a confrontation in practice. Confrontation is too strong. It was just more of a clearly the two guys not on the same page. Obviously, if you've got two coaches that aren't on the same page, you probably do want to split up before this becomes a problem over the course of a season. But, you know, Terry Stotts walking away from coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, even in an assistant's capacity, it's got to take a lot, I would think. I mean, this is a championship caliber contender. So that tells me it was pretty bad, I would say. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but like, I don't know, a few days have gone by where you're left with it. I'm giving Adrian Griffin, of course, the full benefit of the doubt. You don't really know what he's going to be like until you get into the season. But there's definitely an interesting little start to his career here that I think people are going to keep in the back of their mind as a reference point, depending on how things go to start the season.
Yeah, I think for now, it's definitely you put a pin in it and see, you know, how things go. If the Bucks win 55 games, they're a top 3 seed and go to the finals, we never really think about it again. There's offensive stagnation and Damian says or Instagrams something, about how he doesn't something around the offense. And, you know, then I think people look back and wonder what could have been, what happened. Mm-hmm. My understanding of that, JR, was that these were two guys who had never worked together. And it just didn't fit. And while the word fit can be somewhat nebulous, but I think that's part of it. That's just Terry had said a couple times over the summer, hey, like, I was a head coach in Portland for a decade, and Adrian's going to do different things. Does it mean Terry wanted things to be done or disagreed with some things, or Adrian didn't like, you know, how Terry and Dame were so close, but you can't help that because, like, literally that's history. I don't know about any of that. Like, no one can really know unless Adrian and Terry are going to dive into that. And let's be real, neither of them are going to do that. So I don't want to overly speculate other than to just say what I know, which is these two guys tried to make it work. They didn't really know each other. They didn't never had worked together, and it just didn't mesh, whatever that means. And I think Terry deciding to call it a day after that long road trip, getting ready, to your point, why prolong it? Why think that if it didn't work through an intense training camp and four preseason games and a long road trip, like sort of all of the incubators of a relationship,
yeah,
right? If it didn't work then, why do you think it's going to get better in regular season games when the pressure ramps up? And my understanding, again, my feel for both of these gentlemen, stand-up guys, really highly respected among their coaching fraternity, among the players, you know, why push it, right? Now, we'll see. You know, Joe Prunty was asked after the scrimmage, like, hey, have roles changed, you know, with Terry being gone? And, you know, he kind of said, hey, it's kind of like players on the court.
Yeah.
You know, guy gets hurt or traded or whatever. Okay. Someone else roles do change, you know. But obviously he wasn't going to get into specifics. Like, is Joe running the offense? I don't know. I think, you know, the offense is in. And even Damian, here's the thing. Damian had said this when he's like, I'm immediately comfortable because a lot of this is what we were doing in Portland, which makes sense.
Right.
Because Terry Stotts was putting in the offense. So I don't think, like, that's going to change. Like, I don't think all of a sudden in a week's time they ripped up everything they worked on for 4 weeks. You know? It's just now you're going to maybe have a different person, you know, whether it be DJ Baker, whether it be Joe Prunty, whether it be Nate Mitchell or Adrian, running these things or calling these things late game. I believe Terry Stotts drew up sort of the late game stuff early in the preseason. But again, those plays already exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see. You know, our vantage point at Fiserv Forum, we cannot really see the Bucks bench. So maybe fans, if you're listening to this, tweet at us or X us or whatever. If you see, you know, when the camera pans in, when the TNT camera pans in late game, who's calling, you know, or drawing that up. Stuff up. But again, does that really matter? I mean, do we really care? Like even in the football sense?
No, I think sometimes we care when there's dissent between coaches. Now it's very interesting, but yeah.
So I think it's definitely you put a pin in it, JR, and you see how things
sure.
go.
What are you looking for with it? We've asked this question before, but with Adrian Griffin, first couple games, okay, it's real now. It's pretty good opponents, too, to open up the season. What are you looking for with him? What's going to catch your eye?
I'm curious what his actual rotation is. We asked him about this prior to the Memphis game. Of course, he names everybody.
Yes.
But then...
yes, Lyndon Wigginton will fit in here somewhere.
Marjan didn't play in the first half. Didn't come in until late. You know, AJ Green didn't play until late. Part of that, I think...
That surprises me, by the way.
Yeah, it's Campaign suffered a thigh bruise in that game. But even then, you know, that's when Ty Washington Jr. came in. But that was because, as we found out later, Cam got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, like, is with this team, is Adrian running a 10-man rotation or 9-man rotation? Are Damian and Giannis and Brooke and some of these guys playing heavier minutes early on? Obviously, Chris, like Marjan didn't play even with Chris playing just 12 minutes.
Right.
Right? Like last year when Pat and Chris were hurt, that's when Marjan played more. So is Pat – like if Chris is only going to be a 20-minute guy to start, is Pat a 28-minute guy?
Oh,
right? So, like, I'm really interested to see early on what that rotation looks like, how much they lean on the guys early. Because that was the thing in Toronto, right? Like, those guys played a lot. As far as we know, everybody's healthy other than Cam. We'll see how that bruise. Bobby Portis, you know, knee bruise. He called it maintenance. I asked him if he's going to be good to go Thursday. He's like, I'm going to be great.
Yeah, he's ready.
So, you know, other than Chris, and we'll see this pain thing, you know, I'm interested in that. Defensively, JR, I think that's going to be an adjustment for Bucks fans.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, like they've been – look, Mike Budenholzer arrived in Milwaukee, what, as sort of an offensive, you know, minded kind of guy. But, like, Brook Lopez showed up at that time. And to Budenholzer's credit, you know, they became a defense that was centered around funneling people to that giant man – and he just swatted them away, right?
Well, first they made him an offensive player, a three-point shooter.
Yeah, there's that, right. So, like, you know, Brooke even said, this is going to take some adjustment. Like, they're asking him to get out real high. There's a video over at jsonline.com that shows Brooke, you know, essentially defending A.J. Green. And A.J. Green, because he's A.J. Green, goes back 30-something feet and shoots a three over him, right? And that's going to happen. And Brooke says in the story, hey, look, there's going to be times where I'm not back there. Someone, and again, there's a video in the scrimmage where he's up there, turns around, and there's no one behind him. And Bobby Portis goes in for a dunk. Like, that's – now, granted, Giannis wasn't playing. Probably that means Giannis is going to be back there. But I don't know. Like, so some of that is going to be really different for Bucks fans, I think. On one hand, it might be exciting, maybe some turnovers, some breakaway dunks, some transition layups. That's all great. But also, they might be giving up some stuff as they try to, like, really hone in on this defense, JR. So I think that's going to be interesting early on to see what that looks like as they try to communicate with one another in an arena setting against opponents who have ill intentions on that rim. And also, look, JR, corner threes, going to be a thing again.
Oh, yeah. They're back, baby.
You know, I know that was a thing for 4 years under Bud. Last year, the Bucks were fantastic. They were one of the best teams at limiting three-pointers in general, eliminating corner threes. That's coming back again because when you're – and Adrian Griffin says in the story, when you're a help team and you're rotating, if the opponent is swinging that ball and making that commitment, ball moves faster than man. And so there's going to be open threes again. And, you know, Giannis even said, hey, sometime that 8 point a game guy is going to hit 20 for us against us. Mm-hmm. But for them, you know, they don't want Jimmy scoring 50. So you give and you give type of thing. So that's also another thing to watch early on is how quickly or maybe not quickly a lot of that defensive stuff comes together.
Yeah, I think Bucks fans would be crazy to expect the same level of defense. You had three all defensive NBA players on last year's team. You lost one, and that's the guy who manned the perimeter. So, and Damian Lillard, who I know takes great pride in his defense and talked about that, like, is not known as a defensive player. He's an offensive player, and the calculus is you sacrifice some defense to get way more offense. Yes. Totally understandable, especially in the playoffs. I think it would be understandable, of course, that they take a step down. My worry, Jim, is that their defense might actually be kind of bad, at least initially. Right. Like, that's kind of, I think, where people are seeing the preseason games, kind of like, is the defense going to be good at all? That's a little concerning, I guess.
Yeah, so this is – there's a couple things there. Like, I could see Giannis being back in the DPOY conversation in this scheme because he's going to be helping, and he's a great help-side defender – shot blocker. He might have to, you know, dial in on Jason Tatum and a Jimmy Butler and some of these guys on a more one-on-one level. You know, Chris is an underrated team defender.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton was on Kevin Durant when PJ Tucker was fouling out all the time. Like, Chris Middleton was handling a lot of significant defensive responsibilities. He's healthy. He insists he's pain-free, JR. He's 6'8". Like, that's not a – he's a good team defender. And if the emphasis is team defense with this, even I think to Damian, you know, wanting to say he's not as, like, bad as people think he is, maybe some scouts will debate that. But, again, if you're a team defender, I mean, Brook and Giannis are still going to be out there.
Yes, that's true.
They might be in different spots, but they're still going to be out there. And they're not going to totally abandon the drop defense that we have seen. I can't imagine. I think what Adrian wants to do, JR, is have a mix of ball pressure, presses, some little zones, some drop. Like, he wants to be able to do all of that. Would it shock me against Joel Embiid that we see some one-on-one Brook versus Joel or Giannis versus Joel? No. And then it looks completely different against a much smaller team, right? That doesn't have that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But to your broader point, yeah, like I could see them having to outscore some teams in at least early as they kind of figure out who they are on the defensive end or what works best even.
I need campaign to get healthy because we are going into an election year and I have puns to provide on the campaign trail. He seems like a fun time, by the way, this Cameron Payne. I think I don't know if he's – I don't think he's the type of player you can just say his last name. I think it's campaign at all times. Campaign with a shot. Campaign with a rebound. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah.
How big of an impact is he? He's a name, you know. Obviously, again, there's more players from the 2021 Suns champ, you know, the Western Conference finalist because on this Bucks team – Jay Crowder and Cameron Payne than there are on the current Suns team with only Devin Booker still there. So that's kind of a fun nugget. But like Cameron Payne, you know, like that was a pretty good name that they were able to sign way late in the game. Is he going to provide some value?
You know, I mean, yes, because he's a veteran, a truly veteran point guard, but not like a George Hill type veteran where he's in his mid to late 30s. You know, he's been on two teams that went to conference finals in the West. He started his career in Oklahoma City. Adrian Griffin was his coach, by the way. Obviously, Bucks fans know him from that Suns run. I mean, again, I'd say he probably skews offense more than defense. So, you know, he's a guy who can at least get them into where they need to be. He can run pick and roll as a professional. You know, teams are going to – put it this way. If he's running pick and roll with Giannis and Brooke and Chris, unlike Damian Lillard – they will let campaign shoot.
Yes.
Now, I think what we'll find out is campaign will be like, yes, I'm going to shoot it. And so I think that's going to be.
I believe the meme is it's campaign time, quoted to campaign.
Yes. So I think what we'll have to see is guys like Payne and Beasley fitting in when those minutes are staggered, when it's Giannis and Chris or Brooke and Chris or Brooke and Dame, you know, whomever. You know, the flow of offense and who gets the ball and when. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, having a backup point guard who's truly, like, you know, knows that role, been in that role, comfortable in that role, I think is a good thing. But, yeah, where the defensive stuff fits and, of course, yeah, like, you know, the offensive part of things there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, give it to the big guys. We'll see how that, you know, he fits in there.
Malik Beasley seems like he's going to be the fifth starter on this team with the big four of, you know, Adetokounmpo, Lillard, Brooke Lopez, and Chris Middleton. And so we're going to see a lot out of him. I would say kind of an under-the-radar signing. They didn't spend a lot of money to get him. And seems like the type of player who can help them a little bit on both ends of the floor. So what you've seen from Malik Beasley, where does he fit? Is he going to be taking shots? Is he going to be – like what is the role for Malik Beasley at this point?
So, you know, again, this also loops back into Chris. Like Chris hasn't played. So – Malik Beasley has been the fourth option offensively as opposed to the fifth. And look, in his career, he's a guy who wants to shoot, can be an elite three-point shooter. Grayson was cool with being the fifth guy. You know, is Malik cool with that? I mean, he signed here. You would say on the surface he's going to have to be. But it's different to live it when you're 28 years old and you want another big contract. Like, so that's going to be an interesting part of this too, is Adrian Griffin has said all preseason Malik Beasley is going to get the best sort of wing defender at his position. Yes, he's guarding Jaylen Brown. You know, yes, if James Harden shows up, it's probably going to be James. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know. And so Malik says he knows he's here for that. He's looking forward to that. He understands that that's a role here. You know, I guess, JR, we're just going to have to see, you know. He says it's good for him because it gives him, you know, some focus and knowing he has to be ready for this game in, game out. And the shots, yeah, like, look, Giannis passes. Dame averages – both of those guys come in averaging – you combine them together, 14, 15 assists a game. But Chris is there, right? So now Malik has said, hey, I've played with Joker. I've played with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And that's true. But it's a different dynamic, I think. And a guy, yeah, you're right, on a minimum deal, the Bucks typically don't get 28-year-olds who are athletic. So I think for both parties, it'd be good for them if this works in whatever way that means.
Yeah.
Because that maybe gives the Bucks a chance to extend him or re-sign him next year when they typically don't have cap space to sign 40% 28-year-olds, right?
Right.
So I think there's a lot. This could be very mutually beneficial, but Malik Beasley's also been on a whole bunch of teams in the last handful of years, and there's always reasons for that. So, you know, I think that's also a we'll see, but at least in the early going, he is saying the right things, he is doing the right things, but we'll just have to see how it plays out over, you know, the next few months.
I feel like every time we talk about the Bucks, we seldom bring up Bobby Portis. He's kind of, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but he is, as you're talking about 28-year-olds, he is still just 28 years old, and he's an 8-year veteran at the same time, and he just got to play with Team USA, so coming in, you know, maybe a little more worn down than he would be normally, but has obviously some great international experience. He's still, last we checked in with him, he was still getting better. You know, he was still getting, you know, closer and closer to, I think, you know, his peak performance. I don't know if you think it gets much better than what we've seen the last year out of him, maybe, but do you envision that he could take a step forward? And that would, you know, obviously that would be something off the bench that the Bucks could really make use of.
Yeah, I think, look, the Lillard acquisition changes so much for Bobby and Brooke. Like Bobby outside of Chris is probably the other guy you want shooting 15 footers and pick and roll with Bobby. You're going to give Bobby a 15 footer at the elbow open because they are. If it's Dame, if it's Chris, if it's big on, well, Brooke doesn't really, Bobby doesn't really play with Giannis, but you want to do a big on big pick and Brooke's going to run to the rim. Like, yeah, I could see Bobby having a really good season. I mean, Giannis had this knee surgery. He's healthy now. We know the way he plays. But Bobby is his backup at the four. So maybe you see Bobby shift back into that true six-man role where last year, what, he started almost 30 games.
Yeah.
Which probably hurt him in the six-man
voting. Yeah, killed him. Killed his candidacy.
Yeah, he started too much, right? And he had crazy numbers. He was like a 17-12 guy. In those games. So yeah, I could see Bobby being okay, maybe the raw numbers, JR, quote unquote, decline if Giannis is truly healthy. But I could see him definitely being impactful. And again, his team defense over the years we have seen that this stuff works for Bobby. Like he's I think he is committed. We mentioned these questions from Malik. I think those were fair of Bobby coming in 3 years ago, right? And to me, I feel he's answered some of those questions. Like he laughs. Like he's not a shot blocker.
No,
you know, like Brooklyn, but he's physical, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see Bobby and Brooke having really good offensive seasons as the other guy. Like is Giannis going to set 50 screens? He says he is. I don't.
Evidence really, is not good.
I don't think that's going to happen. Like, but Brooke's going to set screens. Bobby's going to set screens, and that means their floor spacers. I think the thing to watch, JR, is I think Bobby took 1-3 all preseason.
Interesting.
Like his 3-point attempts have declined since he kind of made his push to be part of the 3-point contest a few years ago.
That was one of our predictions that did not go well.
Yeah, are they going to ask him to do that? I don't know. If he's out there, like, he still needs to be a threat, but we haven't seen it. So I think that'll be interesting to see. Like, is a role man, as a pick and popper, is he in that mid-range as opposed to going all the way out to the three-point line? I guess we'll see. But, yeah, I think Chris, Bobby, and Brooke are going to be huge beneficiaries of Damian being here.
Yeah.
It just may not translate to the raw numbers over 82 games, but I think they're going to have some opportunities that they just haven't had.
I'm going to give you three names, and I want you to tell me which of these guys, if any of them, you think will be, you know, big time contributors is too strong because we know who those guys are. But these guys, I legitimately don't know how much we're going to see them, and I don't know how much they're going to have value. They might be really valuable. I'm not sure. The names are Jay Crowder, AJ Green, and Marjon Beauchamp. I kind of perplexed. Like, I don't know if I could forecast what's to come for those three guys. So run it down for me. Which one of those guys is really going to be a contributor? Like, how do you forecast what happens for those three?
Well, Jay, I mean, is clearly in Adrian's rotation. If he's not, we'll see, I guess, how the substitution patterns are. So who the sixth man is it because Giannis comes out first, so it's Bobby? Or is Chris coming out first and it's Pat, right? But Jay is in that, you know, 6ABC.
Yes.
Or maybe he's the seventh, right? And so he's in that spot, I think. Whether that's at the three or the four, Adrian Griffin's will tell us that, right? Yeah. But I think Jay is in that boat. A summer of working out, of runs. He knew where he was going to be. The five-on-five stuff that he didn't do for 9 months or whatever it was a year ago as he waited to be traded was a real thing. And Jay, I think, fits offensively. He would be that fifth person, posting up on the five or in the corner, posting up, like, shoot it. He's out there. He made his threes at a really high rate in the little bit that he played with the Bucks last year. So I think that's his role offensively. Mm-hmm. Marjon's going to be the interesting one because, the Bucks could use that athleticism. Again, if it's Chris and Pat and Jay, you're running out of minutes. Mm-hmm. So is Marjon, do they think he can defend up top? Like, is he Malik Beasley's sub where he's like that off ball? And so once Malik goes out, it's Marjon on Zach LaVine and James Harden and Shai Gilgeous. Like, we saw some of that in the preseason, but then the last preseason game, he didn't play, as we mentioned earlier. Right. I don't know. I mean, we've seen a more confident player at times. And I say at times because against Chicago, when no one else played, he looked confident. And then when guys were back on the court with LA and OKC, there were times you saw like some hesitation offensively and maybe not knowing what he should be doing. He comes in against Memphis. Everyone else is out of the game. He's a very confident offensive player. So, and that's growing pains, right? Right. So where does that fit? I don't know. On one hand, I feel like this Bucks organization needs him to become a rotation player, needs him to become a second contract guy. But what role that is, I don't know. And the reason I address AJ Green last is because some of it is status. He earned a guaranteed deal this year. He's probably always going to be considered an offensive first player. Although he does work hard defensively, he's a much bigger guy. He is willing to be physical. And look, if Adrian Griffin is going to let these guys foul and get up in the guys, I think AJ can do that. But again, I think I'd probably rather have Andre Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
Play defensively.
That's the next guy
over AJ Green. But I want AJ Green shooting the ball for as much as Andre's been working on it.
Yeah. Can we fuse these two players together? AJ Green.
Yeah. And Andre Jackson? So I made this comment to someone on press row at the scrimmage, JR, that there's going to be games where, like, and look, this happens. The Bucks are going to be down 20, 8 minutes to go, 6 minutes to go, and, you know, here everybody comes out, and these five dudes run in, AJ, Andre, Marjan, Thanasis, Bobby, whatever, and all of a sudden they're down four with like 90 seconds left because they're trapping and pressing and stealing. AJ Green has four threes and they dunk on people's heads. And we're going to have conversations about why aren't these guys, you know, because they're going to be able to play differently than the 30-plus-year-olds, right? Or like the back-to-back games. We used to call them, the Thanasis games, the bench games, where like they're exciting and fun to watch. And I think we're going to set the over-under on an AJ Green season high for threes at 6.5.
I like that.
And I'm going over on that. I think he's going to hit 7 at some point in this year. Because he's that kind of guy. And he is not afraid. There is no hesitancy with AJ Green. If he's out there and he catches it, he's shooting it. Mm-hmm. And Damian and Giannis and Chris have that like confidence in him, I think. Well, for Giannis and Chris, for sure. I mean, Damian, I think, is probably going to see it. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, they're a championship-level team, JR. Like, that's the hard part when you have your top nine, your top eight or nine are veterans who are paid a lot of money, or in Jay's case, maybe not paid a lot of money but has the track record, right? Or like Beasley, for instance, right? Not paid a lot of money but eight-year, nine-year guy.
Yeah.
That's replacing your other starter. So, I don't know. It might just be those things that maybe make Bucks fans like, why don't they play more?
Right.
And then it always comes down to, well, whose minutes are they taking?
Right. And Andre Jackson, who is, of course, a work in progress, offensively a major work in progress, but he's not a first-round pick. I mean, he's exciting talent, and maybe he develops at some point, but like AJ Green, too, like, if they were first-round picks, we might be talking about them differently. We might be talking about them like we talk about Marjan,
right,
where they need him to become a rotation guy. Those guys,
not yet for Andre with that. Like, Andre maybe in a couple years needs to be that. Maybe next year needs to be that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe, and that's part of the Adrian Griffin, I think, staff is that they're all sort of known for developing those kind of guys in Toronto and Detroit. And so that's part of the gig. Andre, at the very least, he can handle the ball and facilitate. But again, is he the third point guard? Maybe. But if Dame's playing 35 minutes and Campaign's playing 18 minutes and also Giannis is your point guard and Chris, like, so, you know, we'll see on the young guys. Again, this is all a new coach. And who knows? Maybe the start is, well, we don't want to ramp these guys up initially, so we see a lot of young guys early. And then as the season goes late, like Marjan didn't play at all at the end of last year.
Right.
So maybe it starts, we see some of these guys worked in the first few months and not as much later.
I'm going to ask you three random questions that I'm putting you on the spot. Okay. I did not tell you I was going to ask them. They're somewhat loaded, perhaps.
Okay.
The first one is Damian Lillard, you're into hip-hop, is Damian Lillard a good rapper?
Okay,
great. I don't know. I've listened only a little bit.
Yeah, so. I say it with a question mark because I feel like that's not his full-time job.
No, of course not.
So, like, I feel like, you know, that's not his full-time job. He's a much better basketball player than he is a rapper.
Okay.
But he has made several records and
perfect.
You know, seems to have the following.
Question two, I know why Thanasis is here. I'm not clear why Robin Lopez is here. Can you explain to me a little bit what Robin Lopez is going to do here?
Yeah, I think Robin played way more in the preseason than the Bucks will plan on having him play.
Sure.
I mean, he doesn't have the offensive game that Brook does. We've known that. Robin knows where to be and sort of how to be there. It's just a matter of 35. You know, he's just not the athlete that Brook is. So they've since, you know, whatever year that when Brook had the back surgery, the Bucks have tried to find the fourth big.
Yes.
Because Bobby is Giannis's backup. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. And Giannis will play some five, but he doesn't really like to do it a whole lot.
Right.
Like, he will, but he doesn't want to be that guy. Like, and he has said this. So they've tried to find Serge, Myers Leonard. Now it's Robin.
It has been a search.
Robin is Brooke's backup. Mm-hmm. Brooke plays a lot of minutes.
Yeah, he does.
So I think that, I mean, if it's not Brooke at the five and it's not Giannis at the five, we're going to see Robin. And I think he is there to be your traditional maybe drop big. Like, you can have Brooke hedge, like, get out and protect the free throw line or the three-point line. Like, I don't know if you want Robin way out there. So maybe that's when, you know, he played a lot, sort of Thanasis, but it was the preseason. I don't know if we'll see those guys as much in the regular season.
All right, last one. Tell me if this is my personal conspiracy theory is true or not. It feels like if they'd never gotten Jay Crowder, Mike Budenholzer might still be here. Because it feels like the unwillingness to play him maybe was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because clearly they like Jay Crowder to re-sign him and say, no, you're going to get playing time this time.
I mean, Jay, you know, said, yeah, hey, look, I mean, when he told me after the Heat, you know, what am I doing here? And then he did say, like, the change in coaching and the way they're going to play defense affected his decision. Like, you know, Jay's at the point in his career, he's not going to mince words.
No, of course not.
But I said this, JR, as we wrapped last year, right? Where it was, if Jay Crowder's back, that says that there was a disconnect between the front office thinking who Jay still is,
yes,
and the coaching staff. They gave out, you know, what, 5 second-round picks all told? Now, look, in fairness to Bud, I like this Jay looks different than the one that was here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an indictment. That's Jay not being on a team for 8 months.
Yeah.
And then when he got here, he got hurt. Just like PJ did, by the way. The difference was PJ was, like, still playing in Houston and went through camp and all that stuff.
Yes.
When he was acquired at the deadline. So I wouldn't put that on Jay. I think there were way more other factors.
Not like he wanted it. Just unwittingly his presence.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, there's definitely, you know, a 1 + 1 = 2 that he's here and the head coach is different.
Yes. All right, let's look at the Eastern Conference. We're wrapping up here, getting close to the end. It's presumed that this is a Boston-Milwaukee thing. Obviously, there are other teams in there, Miami. Of course, after the run they went on last year, cannot be counted out. I guess Philadelphia. There's a lot going on in Philadelphia, but the talent is there. So we haven't really seen much change in the landscape since Drew Holiday became a Boston Celtic, and I think kind of tipped the scales back in Boston's favor. But as you look at it now, with a, you know, obviously around the precipice of the start of the season, what are you thinking in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I liked the Porzingis acquisition in Boston. I feel they had reached their ceiling with Marcus Smart and Robert Williams at all. Like, and that was a great ceiling. What, 1 finals and like 5 conference finals trip? Way better than the – I mean, look.
Very consistent.
I'm not discounting – obviously, a Bucks championship trumps all. Okay. But the Celtics, way more successful in the playoffs the last 5 years
That's
than
true.
The Bucks had been.
That's true.
Outside of that, right? I mean, the Bucks have – I'm writing this soon. They've only been out of the second round twice in 7 years. Not good. No. In Giannis's prime. So I like the Porzingis deal. The Holiday thing, I mean, a tremendous acquisition for them. But I think for them it's going to take time. For as seamless as Drew would fit in with Jalen and Jason, the Porzingis thing I think is going to – and no Robert Williams, no Grant Williams, no Marcus Smart. Like, they got to figure that out too. And if KP can stay healthy is also the biggest thing. So, yeah, I do think they'll figure it out. I think the Bucks will figure it out, and they are clearly the top two teams in the East. I think Cleveland slots in there as third. I like their offseason. Max Strus is a big deal for them. Chetty Osman, right? He's gone. I'm forgetting the other acquisition they had. That's they needed shooting, and they went out and addressed it. And look, the Cavs gave them problems, gave the Bucks problems. They've got, you know, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. They've got the bigs that the Bucks have, right? And Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are fantastic. So I think those are the three teams in the East. Miami, while I am always the one to put respect on the conference finalist's name and what they did. But to lose Gabe Vincent and Strus and to not get Dame, look, man, that's a tough – would I be shocked that the Heat make the playoffs again as a play-in team or a bottom-end team and cause problems? No. But I can't ignore the top three teams. New York, Chicago, you know, okay. But, they're Philly, look, man, Tyrese Maxey seems to be ascending.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if they have the firepower without James. And clearly James doesn't want to play there. So whether or not, JR, he's on the court Thursday, how interested is he going to be if he's on the court? I don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Like, that's such a mess that to me overrides the fun potential of a Maxey and Embiid pairing.
Yeah.
That I just can't say that they're – and they don't get out of second round either. So, thankfully for Giannis and the Bucks, like, they have won one, or that'd be a real conversation about this.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Philly, fourth, fifth, New York, Dante's out there, the Villanova guys running wild for Tibbs. Like, they're going to win some games. I think Indiana's really – Tyrese Halliburton's a star.
Oh, of course, yeah. Indiana
gave – look, there was that report, JR, that came out. Like, some anonymous scout said, like, the Pacers are going to give the Bucks problems, and people got all up in arms. Yeah, they are. They gave the Bucks problems last year.
Yeah.
They run so fast. This Bucks team is not into that, man. No. Like,
they're all like 40.
So, look, how crazy. I think if I'm Adrian Griffin, I'm looking at those Indiana games, and I'm like, this is the Andre game. This is those five dudes, and it's going to be like ABA style, like 150 to 140.
That's where AJ Green hits right. His 7 3
like,
pointers.
I mean, in all seriousness, like, they are. Like, Indiana's gonna be a fun team. They're gonna cause problems for teams just for how much they run and for how good Tyrese is and going to be. But again, they're, if we're talking about like the playoffs and being a maybe there's some matchup issues and they're gonna be the team, JR, you don't want to see Indiana, which is probably true because they're gonna be a problem. But like, are they going to be the third team in the East? No. So there's some interesting stuff going on. Like, Detroit's not going to be like as bad. And that's why, again, the Vegas or the ESPN Bucks win total, people got all up in arms about what did they put them at, like 48? Like, every team was at like 48.
Right.
Because I don't think Orlando and Detroit are going to be so bad again. Well, they're going to have to beat someone.
Right.
And so does that happen early against the Bucks? Maybe.
Yeah.
Look, a couple years ago, JR, what was it? 52 wins won the East? 53 wins won the East? That's not – is that sexy? No, that's like 30 losses.
Yeah.
Right? So I could see that because how long it might take Boston and Milwaukee to figure it out, plus these other teams just getting even just a little better, kind of squeezes everything in the middle.
Yeah, I think the parity in the NBA, coupled with, I mean, this isn't new, but teams know they're going to the playoffs and they're not messing, they're not, in the regular season, it's not like we're going to try to win as many games as possible.
Yeah,
it's,
those days are done. Yeah. Unless you're like a Cleveland. We talked about this last year with Philly, when I thought Philly might win the East with a huge record. Because Doc and those guys were like, we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to win a bunch, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland's in that boat. They're already talking about Donovan Mitchell. Like, oh, is he going to stay or go? Like, would Cleveland love to win 56 games? Yes. The Bucks, not so much.
Yeah, it was almost a reluctant championship. The best regular season record in the East for the Bucks. All right. Yeah, that was it George Nang? Is that the other guy you're thinking of?
Yeah, yes, yes. Okay. I mean, look, those were like smart basketball decisions.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem.
All right. We're kind of here at the end. I don't know if you want to make any predictions. We've made predictions in the past. They've been terrible. They've been so bad.
Yeah.
And I haven't even researched any contributions of my own. But
I'm going to do a couple quick things. I do think – so before Dame, I would have thought Giannis would have MVP this year.
Yes. You said that primarily, even in the offseason, where yes. you said if he doesn't play in the FIBA because right. he's hurt,
yes.
he's going to be fully healthy for the season. Yeah. That's going to be
that's
a huge
so
problem.
Underrated, JR. I know this is the end of the podcast. He's healthy. And it like, and who knows, maybe he can win MVP with sort of lower raw numbers. I think he'll be in the DPOY conversation because of the style of defense they're playing. And again, raw numbers kind of matter, and those might improve after last year. You know, Dame and Giannis will be all-stars. I think JR, we're going to be talking about Chris as an all-star snub.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's going to be because of whatever this ramp-up period is going to kind of deflate some stuff. But I think he's going to have a really good year. Is it 20 points a game? Can you have three guys at 28? Yeah, like there's going to be enough time for that. But I think Chris is going to have a really good year. Those are the positives. I do think it's going to take a little bit for the defense to figure out what they are, who they are. Sure. And that might lead to some moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall season, I think they are the best team in the East.
Okay.
As we sit here, will they beat Denver? I don't know. You know, Denver's really good. But I'll say that I think the Bucks can make this finals. I think Damian is that good.
All right. I think Adrian Griffin gets strong consideration for Coach of the Year. Not because, you know, I am actually, we talked about some of the red flags. Like, I don't know what I think about him yet, but, you know, a first-year coach who's never coached anywhere else before, and then this Bucks team is going to be one of the top two teams, I think, in the East. I think that will merit some attention. I think A.J. Green wins them a game with a buzzer beater at some point. Because, I mean, guys are going to get hurt, and A.J. Green is going to see minutes yeah. that percolate upward. So I think that happens. I wonder if Damian Lillard isn't an all-star this year. I mean, it makes that's crazy to say. But, like, I just wonder if – because there's a lot of talent in the East. There's yeah. a lot of talent across the league right now. I don't know. I just wonder if that's the snub, if somehow that happens and then everyone's
freaking out.
Like,
Giannis and Chris
out.
Go to the All-Star game again?
No, not Chris. Just Giannis.
No, there's no way they're a one All-Star team.
I don't know.
Well, they haven't been a one All-Star team since when?
I could not even tell you that off
exactly.
the top of my head. You're right. I mean, you're right. I'm throwing something into the ether here without like fully vetting it. But I wonder if that is something that Bucks, because Bucks Twitter needs something to freak out about. And I mean, that would right. be on a silver platter for them. Yeah, I am looking forward to this opener on Thursday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. Going to be a lot of buzz in Pfizer Forum. Almost called it American Family Field. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be a nice venue to start a game. They did it with a college game. Why not NBA? Going to be a lot of buzz in that building as Damian Lillard makes his Bucks debut. Adrian Griffin makes his Bucks debut. New look Milwaukee. We'll see if they can put some things together on the defensive end of the floor out the gates and see what happens. Jim? I think that's going to do it. Any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No, you know, this week we'll plug this week's content. We have Adrian Griffin broke down a four core defensive principles. We sat down with the Haslams. Oh, yeah, by the way, Bucks ownership changed.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, we'll have a story kind of recapping a little bit of the good and bad in Cleveland. The bad's been on the field. People who worked for them had some good things to say. Columbus, Wes Edens. You know, talk kind of candidly. Put it this way, the Haslams have a lot of money, and Wes Edens has a lot of money.
Yes, that's true.
And at the end of the day, JR, that's what Bucks fans care about.
Yes.
So we kind of get into that. Obviously, we'll kind of look back at the Damian Lillard trade, kind of how and why that happened. It's not just because he's Damian Lillard. There's some cap stuff, some timeline stuff that's kind of interesting, so we'll get into that as well before the opener over at jsonline.com.
All right, everything at jsonline.com, like he just said. Point Forward 5, the video series, will be with you once a week on the site. You can find us, heck, inside Buck Stories, you'll probably find yep. us. And the Point Forward podcast, like we said, not disappearing completely. Just won't have one every week going forward. Who knows? Maybe something crazy happens in this opener and we have to
right.
come right back. And we're like, we know we told you we're scaling back.
Right.
But so we'll see. We'll do this as it allows. So stay subscribed to the Point Forward podcast. We'll pop up in your feeds on a semi-regular basis. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody, enjoy the 2023-24 Milwaukee Bucks season. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.